A very good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's good to see all of you here today, and I know some are traveling, and some will be traveling because this is holiday period for Singapore. So let us, if you know the people who are traveling, do keep them in prayers as we live in a world that is very uncertain and in some places quite dangerous as well and risky. So let us not take things for granted, but remember to commit our lives, even our leisure, our holidays to the Lord, and pray for His protection and His blessing. Now, I want to say again that the contents of this short series on conscience are taken from a couple of books. There's a primary source and there are some secondary sources, which I will disclose to you next Sunday when I end with the fourth message on conscience. I've tried to organize, summarize, and create the PowerPoints and make it simple as I explain each of the various topics to you. And I hope that God will help us to come to a better understanding on the subject of conscience, and that we will be able to apply the principles that we learn and be able to live with each other despite our many differences in harmony and in unity. We have looked at conscience and its function, and secondly, conscience and its condemnation. And today we want to look at the subject, conscience and its calibration. The previous sermon addresses what to do when your conscience rightly condemns you. And the short answer is, go to 1 John 1:9. But can your conscience wrongly condemn you? Can it wrongly guide you? And what should you do if your conscience isn't functioning accurately? So in this sermon, we'll consider what to do when your conscience wrongly condemns you or isn't functioning accurately. There are a few main points as I work out an outline from what I have read to share with you. And the first point is, should you listen to your conscience? Now, understanding what the conscience is and how it works should encourage all of us to maintain a good conscience. And the Bible exhorts us to do that. And the Apostle Paul has constantly expressed that he had, in his lifetime of serving God, kept a good conscience in his service. And so this is a very important aim and goal that all believers should have, to maintain a good conscience. And as one New Testament scholar observes, and I quote, "The possession of a good conscience is the best below for enjoying a peaceful Christian life," unquote. So if you want to sleep peacefully without your conscience condemning, bothering you, then you need to maintain a good conscience. That's your best pillow for a peaceful sleep. We want to consider next the principle in Romans 14, briefly. But in the next sermon, we will look at it in more detail when we address the subject, conscience and its conflict. What if our consciences conflict, all right? Have conflicts with each other. But today, we are going to look at focus on calibration. But we need to understand certain things, and so let's briefly consider Romans 14, 22, part 2 to verse 23. Now the Word of God says in these two verses, "Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Here in these two verses, God gives us a principle to follow. And the principle is simple, but we need the grace of God to follow it. I want to read the same verse in another version, which brings up a bit clearer the meaning of the principle. And it says in the English Standard Version, "Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. For whatsoever does not proceed from faith is sin." So what is the principle from the Word of God here in Romans 14, 22 and 23? The principle is this: do not sin against your conscience. Listen to your conscience. And Luther, whom we quoted earlier, several times in fact, was right to say this. He said, "To go against conscience is neither right nor safe." However, we need to ask another question, and that is our conscience perfectly reliable? As we have already stated, no one or no person's conscience perfectly matches God's will in this life. I say that again. No person's conscience perfectly matches God's will in this life. The exception is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ in human form. He is sinlessly perfect, and he lived an impeccably perfect life in obedience, 100% to the commandments of God. But for us, no. None of us have a conscience that perfectly matches God's will in this life. That's why we need to calibrate our conscience to align our consciences with the will of God. So as we have already stated, no one's conscience perfectly matches God's will in this life. Nevertheless, having said that, we should still generally always follow your conscience. And in this, I agree with the author of my primary source. Nevertheless, though the conscience is not perfect, not 100% aligned with the will of God, generally we should always follow our conscience according to the principle in Romans 14, 22 to 23. And you say, generally always? And the answer is yes, generally always. Why, you may ask? Simply because God didn't give you and I a conscience so that you and I would disregard it, isn't it? Then what for? He gives us a conscience. He gives us a conscience to guide us. And though it may not be perfect, we should generally always follow the conscience. So the general principle, according to Romans 14, is the two verses teach us that a person who lives according to his conscience is blessed. And for us who are Christians, who have the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scripture, this general principle is one in which we should follow. We should listen to it and to obey it. So I state again that though no one's conscience is perfectly matches God's will, we need to generally always follow it. And as a general rule, you should assume that your conscience is reliable, even if it isn't perfect. All right? So as a general rule, we should assume that our conscience is reliable. And of course, there's a caveat for this. And since conscience is usually right, or at least we assume it is reliable, the Bible says that we should do what your conscience say. And the caveat is, until we are convinced from Scripture that it needs adjusting. Right? So until you are convinced from Scripture that your conscience needs calibration, adjustment, you must generally always follow your conscience. So calling this a general rule means that there are exceptions to the rule, and the exceptions in this case matter significantly in our lives. I flash a picture of Pinocchio in the first sermon. And in that 1940 Walt Disney's animated film, we have a popular advice given by Jiminy Cricket, supposedly Pinocchio's conscience. Now, Pinocchio, of course, you know, is not human, right? But then it is an animated film, right? And after the Blue Fairy appoints Jiminy Cricket as Pinocchio's official conscience, these are the parting words of the Blue Fairy to Pinocchio. "Now remember, Pinocchio, be a good boy and always let your conscience be your guide." And then Jiminy Cricket sings those words to Pinocchio with a catchy tune. "And always let your conscience be your guide." Isn't it? Anybody watch Pinocchio? You look at me like you don't know the story. "Always let your conscience be your guide," Jiminy Cricket says to Pinocchio. The question is, always? And that is the reason we are talking today about calibration. Generally, always, but there are exceptions. All right? Because your conscience is not identical to the voice of God. That voice in our heads is not necessarily what God would say. So how do you then cultivate a conscience that aligns with God's will? And that brings us to the next main point, how to calibrate your conscience. And here we want to briefly look at Romans 14, which addresses not directly the question how to calibrate your conscience. Rather, that chapter instructs believers how to love other people in your church who have different conscience standards than you do. And as I say, we will look at it in more detail in the next sermon. But there are three specific areas of disagreement that I want you to take note as we talk about calibration. In verse 2 of Romans 14, Paul wrote and says, "One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables." The second point of disagreement in verse 5 is, "One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike." Third point of disagreement, verse 21. "It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble." So first, they have a point of difference between eating meat or being a vegan. And then they have a point of disagreement with whether we should esteem certain days. Should we celebrate Christmas, you know, and things like that. And third one, it's more encompassing. Says it repeats not to eat meat, but it also says or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. So these are the three specific areas of disagreement addressed in Romans 14. And concerning these differences, Paul refers to two groups of people in the church. And they are those with a strong conscience and those with a weak conscience. Who are those with a strong conscience? Well, we see that for each of these three disputable matters, in Romans 14:10, the position that a strong hold, and this is in Paul's writing, if you read the whole chapter carefully, I'm just summarizing it for you briefly, that the position that a strong hold with regards to these three disputable matters, they are theologically informed, all right, the strong. Conversely, the position that a weak hold is theologically uninformed. That's why they're called the weak. All right, they still need to grow in their spiritual maturity and understanding of the Word of God. So they are weak in that sense. But they are not heretical. All right, and that's a very important point. All right, with heretics, Paul is clear, have nothing to do with them. Okay? But they are not heretical. That's why we must learn to what? Adjust to each other's differences. So he will tell us, and we'll look at the principles of living in harmony next Sunday. Let's continue with this. The term strong and weak suggests that a strong conscience is more desirable than a weak one. So I believe Paul is more inclined to favor us having a strong conscience rather than a weak one. And it is also clear from Romans 14 that the strong in faith do not necessarily please God any more than the weak in faith. So these are the things that you would observe when you read Romans chapter 14, and I'm laying the background for the message next week, and also to introduce to you how do we calibrate the differences in this message. So whether you're strong in conscience or you're weak in conscience, it is possible that you may not please God, right? Because you can carry things to an extreme, either end of it. Now let's consider the question then, what is calibration? For those of you who deal with science experiments, you probably know that calibration has to do with aligning an instrument with a standard to ensure that it is functioning accurately. For example, you and I know what it means to calibrate a weighing scale or our clock. So sometimes even the clock at the back here that we hang in the sanctuary may not be registering the accurate time, right? So from time to time, we have to calibrate it and we have to use a standard. I don't know how you calibrate your watches and your times or clocks at home, but I usually look at the news, all right? The news. When you look at the 9 o'clock news, you see the clock ticking, all right? So I'm assuming, and it's probably correct, that they have the right timing, and I calibrate my watch or clocks according to that. In the same way, let's say you weigh 60 kg. If you step on a scale, a weighing scale, and that scale reads 65 kg, I think most women will, ah! I put on so much weight. Now, it could be you put on weight or your instrument needs calibration, right? And I guess you would probably prefer to believe the second. But let's assume your instrument is out, it's out of the standard. So you weigh 60, your weighing scale says 65. Then you need to calibrate or you need to minus, right, from it. So you have to calibrate by putting it to zero. The same with the other way around. If you weigh 60 and it reads 55 only, that's a false comfort, you know, if you're losing weight, okay? If your instrument is not accurate, right? So we need to calibrate instruments to make them function accurately. And that is similar in a sense to calibrating our conscience. Your conscience and mine is a part of us that functions like an instrument, and it doesn't always function accurately. So you and I need to calibrate our conscience to align it more closely with the standard of God's word. So that is our true north that we align with, the word of God. And as we saw in Sermon 1, one of the two great principles of conscience is obey your conscience. And that's why we say, generally, we should always follow our conscience. Listen to it. The second principle is that God is the Lord of your conscience, not other people, not even yourself, not your conscience. The Lord is. God is the Lord of your conscience. So understanding how these two principles work together will help us understand how to calibrate our conscience. But first, we want to look at the reasons your conscience may change. Now, your conscience, as we defined in the message last Sunday, is your consciousness of what you believe is right and wrong at any given point in time. Your consciousness of what you believe is right and wrong at any given point of time. And it can change for a complex of reasons. For example, you might think that something is wrong at one point in your life, but think that it is right at a later point in your life. Or you might think that something is right at one point in your life, but think that it is wrong at a later point in your life. Why is that? And there are some reasons why this happened. Firstly, your conscience might become more hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. But some people think that their mind is broadening. However, in reality, their conscience is stretching. They are accepting things that the Word of God says is wrong, and they are slowly searing their conscience. So your conscience might change because it becomes hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And that is why we have to fight sin in our life, so that our consciences are not hardened and seared. If you do something wrong the first time, you feel very guilty, right? Because the Spirit of God will convict you. If you shut the voice of your conscience working through the Holy Spirit, the next time you sin, you shut, you excuse yourself, you rationalize, and so on. All right? Your conscience become hardened, just like some of our skin become hardened. And the more and more you do it, one day it becomes deadened skin. You'd feel no more pain, no more guilt, no more condemnation coming from your conscience. And that is dangerous, as we saw in the last message. The conscience is our automatic warning system given by God for our good. So when we rightly sin against God, our conscience should be functioning. If it is not, something is wrong with your life. All right? You may be hardening your heart against God's conviction. And feeding excuses to your conscience, as someone say, is like feeding sleeping pills to a watchdog. And sometimes the hardening of the conscience is described in Chinese as 你的良心被狗吃掉, right? The dogs have eaten your conscience. You don't feel guilty at all, you know, doing such a criminal act. So your conscience has been eaten by dogs. So that's one reason our conscience may change, and we need to be very alert that it doesn't because of this reason. Secondly, your conscience might follow the standards of spiritual leaders. If you have strong leaders in the church, whether he's a pastor or an elder, even a deacon, or even a layperson who is very strong, all right, sometimes they can be very imposing, all right, on their convictions on others. So in this area, we have to remember what MYOC, right? Remember MYOC? Mind your own conscience. Don't impose your conscience on other people. Your conscience is yours. Theirs is theirs, you see. So we have to be careful that we do not follow the standards of our spiritual leaders blindly, right? And that is another reason our conscience can change. You may, let's say, go to another church, whether to visit or you change church, and then you find that, certain things that they allow, very New Life doesn't, correct? Because the leaders have a different conviction and they do certain things that way. Let me give you a very old example. In my first church, Emmanuel Baptist Fellowship, I was a student training to be a pastor. And while I was worshiping in the church as a student and growing in my faith, we have a very strong leader. I won't mention his name. And this spiritual leader, one of his values or belief, whatever you call conviction, is that ladies cannot wear shorts, even in sports. All right, not allowed to wear shorts. So what do ladies do when they wear shorts in my previous old church? They wear culottes. Have you heard of culottes? Maybe today you don't know what is culotte anymore. Correct? Now, I don't have a picture to show you culottes. You are somebody who knows. Okay? And because I was brought up and believed that conviction, we taught our children that way. So my two girls grow up, cannot wear shorts. Of course, when they grow older, to teenage, they rebel. They say, why not? Well, because Pastor so-and-so says so. You know, can you prove from the Bible? Well, very hard. So we try to find Old Testament verses, you know, that you cannot wear shorts as a woman. Another conviction is, when you go to church camp, no mixed swimming. You know what is mixed swimming? Male and female swimming in the same pool. Yeah. You say, wow, I got such kind of conviction. Yeah. There are a lot more. You are going to be, you know, your jaw will drop when you hear them. You say, wow, today society still got such old-fashioned convictions. There are still churches that do that. All right? They believe that. So you might follow the standards of your spiritual leaders. So you change church, then you change your conscience standards as you follow that church. Thirdly, your conscience might conform more to truth, especially the truth of God's word. And this is what we want to aim towards, calibrating our conscience so that it aligns more and more with the word of God. All right? As much as possible in this lifetime. Now we need to address another question, and that is sinning against your conscience versus calibrating your conscience. Because God is the Lord of your conscience, He expects you as a mature believer to gradually adjust or calibrate your conscience to match His will as Scripture reveals it. However, the question is, how do you know the difference between sinning against your conscience and calibrating your conscience? So we need to understand this. Sinning against your conscience, sorry, let me put it again. You are sinning against your conscience when you believe your conscience is speaking correctly and yet you refuse to listen to it. All right? So you believe your conscience is correct, but you do the reverse, the opposite. Then you are sinning against your conscience. A very simple example is, for example, if you think or believe that it is wrong to drink root beer. Do you all know what root beer is? I was very foolish when I was a young Christian. All right? One of my friends teased me one day at, in the past, we still have an A&W restaurant. So we went there for lunch. And then the friend said, do you drink beer? I said, no. Oh, you don't drink beer. Then he says to another friend, order for him. Give that man a root beer. Then I say, what? Still give me beer. Of course, later on I found out that root beer is not really beer. All right? And I begin to love it, especially root beer float. So when A&W moved out of Singapore, I was very sad. I couldn't get my A&W root beer float. And when I visit JB, oh, got A&W. Tastes different though. Right? Anyway, that's one example. So if you think it is wrong to drink root beer, then you're sinning if you drink root beer. It's as simple as that. Okay? Next, you are calibrating your conscience when Christ, the Lord of your conscience, teaches you through his scripture that your conscience has been incorrectly warning you about a particular matter. You may call it a conviction. So you decide no longer to listen to your conscience in that one matter. Or it could be more than one matter as you grow to know the Word of God more. Right? So this is calibrating or adjusting your conscience, not sinning against it. However, in the early stages of calibration, deciding not to listen to your conscience may feel like you are sinning against it. So when you drink your first root beer, for example, after becoming completely convinced that root beer is okay, your conscience may warn you. And ignoring that warning is not searing your conscience, but calibrating it under the Lordship of Christ. So you may ask, does the Bible include any examples of someone calibrating his or her conscience? And the answer is yes. We already briefly saw that in our first sermon. And this is what exactly the Apostle Peter had to do rather quickly in Acts chapter 10. And let me read in paraphrase what happened there. The next day, the scripture tells us in Acts 10, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, referring to the Gentiles coming to see Peter and making a request, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray, and he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens open and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air, and there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." And this happened three times, according to Acts chapter 10, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. So here, God gave Peter a vision of certain kinds of animals that the Old Testament laws forbade a Jew to eat. But in the vision, the Lord Jesus said to Peter, a Jew, "Kill and eat." So who's Peter going to listen to now? Right? "Oh, I've never eaten anything. Look, the Old Testament law forbids all this. The eating of all these unclean animals in the view of the Jews." But the Lord said to Peter, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." What he has called clean, he says, you shouldn't call it unclean. So Peter revolted against this command initially, all right? And clearly, his faith in Christ was not weak because he was an apostle who understood and believed the gospel, and thousands had converted under his preaching. Peter even had suffered for Christ. And yet, when it comes to eating unclean animals and fellowshipping with Gentiles, because God is going to send him, right, to the Gentile to preach the gospel, Peter's faith was still weak. Weak in the sense that he lacked confidence to do these two things. But because Christ himself was commanding him, Peter had to calibrate his conscience so that he would have the confidence to accept the food that the Gentiles eat and the company of the Gentiles, which he was to go and share the gospel, which previously he is not able to accept. So that's the example from Scripture of calibration of our conscience. Because the Lord, God is the Lord of your conscience. So to summarize, how do you calibrate your conscience? Calibrate your conscience by educating it with the truth, especially the truth of God's word, but there are also outside truths, all right, that are not found in the word of God. When we are educated, then we are able to make adjustment. At this point, I'd like you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 speaks about, in a sense, the calibration or aligning our conscience, our standards, with the will of God. Ephesians 4, beginning from verse 17 to verse 25. We'll stop at verse 25. So if you are turned to the Word of God, please read together with me all these verses, 17 to 25. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that he put off concerning the former conversation the old man which corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his word. So calibrate your conscience by educating it with truth. That's how we renew our mind according to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and not conforming our lives to the world and the standards of the world. And here the Apostle Paul talks about putting off the old nature, putting on the new nature. Now I want to encourage all of us, when we move over on the 8th of December to Mega Woodlands, to stay for the Sunday school, right? Now, please use your common sense and all that to make the adjustment. We worship at 10:45 in the English worship from the 8th onwards, right? So you can see that we end at 12:15, which is basically lunchtime. However, we don't have a time to break for lunch, so 15 minutes break, we have to start our Sunday school from 12:30 to 1:30, which means that lunch will be after 1:30. There are a lot of food store downstairs or upstairs. You can go and check it out. But the point is, you're going to eat lunch late. For some of us, no problem, right? Because we eat late breakfast. But for some, like me, it's a problem. All right, I always eat lunch during 12 to 1. So now how? I can't stop for lunch, right? So you have to use some common sense. Eat a later breakfast before you come to church that will last you to 1:30. Or bring some tapao, some buns and all that. Now remember, in the church that we're using, we cannot eat there. No hot drinks as well, because we cannot dirty their sanctuary. It's not ours, okay? It's theirs. And I think we also won't allow, right, people to drink and eat in our sanctuary here. Yeah. So we need to respect that, okay? So you can bring some, tapao something, your own water or your own coffee in your flask, then go outside during the 15 minutes break. Just run outside for 10, 15 minutes, have a quick bite if you're hungry. Then come back for Sunday school. Please don't, because of lunch, don't attend Sunday school. All right? Our Sunday school for 1 year plus will be on the Heidelberg Confession. And I want to encourage you to attend because this is really good basic theology for every one of us, young and old. All right, so it's an opportunity because of circumstances, every one of us from the secondary one onwards to a senior citizen, there's only one Sunday school class. Okay, so let's come together and learn together basic theology. You know, the late Dr. R.C. Sproul wrote a book, and a little book, hardcover booklet, and entitled it, Every Christian a Theologian. Yeah, that should be the aim in our church. Every new lifer, a theologian. So start with the basic Heidelberg Confession. It's much easier to understand than the Westminster Confession of Faith or Calvin's Institutes of Religion. If you have reached Calvin's Institute, I take my hats off to you. Right? Seriously, but I think majority of us know. In fact, my wife, Sunday school class, she conducted a survey and she found that the young people here hardly read their Bible. Yeah? When do you read your Bible? How often do you read your Bible? And a few answered, only on Sunday. Wow, that is not good, isn't it? So let's begin with the basic theology together and hopefully we can encourage each other to read the Bible on a regular basis because the truth of the Word of God is important for the calibration of our conscience. How are you going to calibrate and align with the will of God when you don't know what the will of God is, right? So as best as you can, we must try to discern why we hold certain convictions and if they are wrong as the Bible teaches, we need to adjust them and change. Okay? And we need to always constantly ask, is our conviction based on truth, especially the truth that God has revealed in the Scripture? And a regular diet of Scripture, and I say regular, not once a Sunday, all right? A regular diet of Scripture will strengthen a weak conscience or restrain an overactive one. And sometimes our conscience is mistaken because we have applied biblical principles in the wrong way. And that's another area to address as well. All right. So very quickly, our time's running out. I want to finish with two basic ways of calibration. And one is adding to your conscience. The other is subtracting. Let's talk about adding to your conscience. Now, sometimes we need to calibrate our conscience by adding commands to it because something's missing that ought to be there. Our conscience may be malfunctioning because we have deeply absorbed the sinful worldview of this age. Give you an example. There are many people living together today with their boyfriend or girlfriend, and they say they do that with a clear conscience. And there are many who look at pornography, and they say they do it with a clear conscience. They are only appreciating art, body form arts, whatever excuses they give. Right? So our conscience are malfunctioning if we think that way. And we need to align by adding commands to it. So when you read the Scripture, you will find that the Scripture will tell us certain things clearly are wrong and sinful. Today, many men and women abort their babies with a clear conscience. And many people gossip with a clear conscience. So what needs to change? Well, they need to calibrate their conscience by educating it with truth. And the truth is, sexual immorality is a sin against God and others. Abortion is murder, according to the Word of God. Gossip is sin, according to the Bible. And so we need to add these commands to our conscience. Just because you can sin with a clear conscience doesn't mean that what you are doing is okay. Please, did you get that? Just because you can sin with a clear conscience doesn't mean that what you are doing is okay. A lot of people use this word clear conscience and abuse it and say, 我问心无愧啊。And they do very wrong things, you know, and they use this to excuse themselves. But that doesn't mean you have not sinned against God. All right? If a police officer pulls you over for speeding, you're running 80 kilometers an hour in a 50 kilometers zone. Do you think that the traffic police will let you go if you say to him, but officer, my speedometer indicated I was only going at 50 kilometers. Well, he would reply and say, that's your problem. You go and calibrate your speedometer. My camera say 80. Hello, uncle. 80, see or not? Right? It's your problem. So there are many, many other examples, and I just want to give one more because I think these are very clear commands that we need to add. Actually, there are two, but I think our time is running out. Let me skip, and then we'll come back to another time to do it. So the other way to calibrate our conscience is to subtract from our conscience. And some examples are, is it sinful to use musical instruments in congregational worship? Right? Now, I'm not asking you that you must adopt my conscience standards. All right? But for me, having considered and read many books and looked at and observed many different churches and the differences in their worship styles and what they allow, I personally think that this is not a essential issue, all right? And musical instruments, my conscience have no problem with using musical instruments. Piano, organ, guitar, I mean guitar for the pre-singing, and violin. And in fact, if you remember when I first came, I told you that I hope and wish that New Life will form an orchestra, right? With different musical instruments, accompanying worship. It's really beautiful, the way God gifted some people in these areas, all right? So you have to subtract if you think musical instruments using it is wrong by calibrating it. I'm saying that unless you're convinced, if you're not convinced, you don't have to hold and adopt my conscience standards. And another very interesting example which the author gave, which I like to mention, is it sinful to bite your fingernails? You say, what? Come on, Pastor Gan. So trivial. But the reason that the author give this, authors give these examples because sometimes parents do not explain to their children, or the children do not understand and distinguish what is family hygiene versus biblical rules or commands. And the children grew up thinking biting your fingernail is sinning against God. Is it sinning against God? No. Now, I have a little grandchild right now, and I love to watch her, of course. Never get tired of looking at her when I go home. She likes to use her hand with a mitten, you know, touching her mouth, licking it and all that. And of course, we look at it and say, ayo, don't do that, Leah, you know, so dirty. And the parents will say, oh, don't do it, you know. So these are what, hygiene issue, right? Correct? Is it Bible rule that Leah cannot lick her mittens? It's not Bible rule. It's a hygiene. The same as you must make your bed, right? Every morning before you go to school. It's a family rule. Is it good to follow? Yes. I'm not going saying don't follow your parents and family rules. Every family have their rules. We should follow them. What I'm trying to bring out is that please distinguish between family rules, church culture, whatever, versus Bible rules and commands. They are not the same. And you must teach your children that way as well. There are many other issues to talk about, and it will take us a lifetime to think through this with the scripture, all right? And align with the scripture. Is it sinful for girls to wear shorts, I mentioned already, or jeans? Is it sinful to watch movies and TV shows? Is it sinful to eat fast food or unhealthy food? Is it sinful to read or watch J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter series? Is it wrong to play with Pokemon? Is it wrong to color one's hair and to have tattoos on your body, drinking alcohol or beer, and using a different Bible version? Now, this is a hang-up that we have in many BP churches. Is it wrong? Is it sinful? Where do you find the Word of God? It's your conviction. The version you prefer is your personal conviction. As a church, we read the scripture in the KJV in unison. Otherwise, you'll be a mess, right? If 10 people read ESV, 20 people in NIV, the rest read in KJV, all luanneo. So we standardize. In worship, we read in the KJV. In the expounding of scripture, in the Sunday school teaching, in the class, we can use other version to explain the things that are difficult. And the KJV, in my opinion, may not be in yours, but in my opinion, is difficult to understand for the younger generation. Even some of you older one, if you're honest, I believe you find it difficult to understand. So we expound the scripture. You want to explain the scripture, right? So that it can become clear. So what's wrong with using other versions that explain the Greek or the Hebrew clearer? Now, that's my personal conviction, right? You may have yours, and I respect that. And you have to respect mine. So a few takeaways, and that is, you won't find two Christians who agree entirely about every matter on conscience. And secondly, you must take the time and effort, the due process, to calibrate your conscience by educating it with truth. And you should not be dogmatic about all your convictions. In the next message, we will address a few different categories when we align our conscience with the Word of God. All right? And I hope it will help you to understand better. So do not be dogmatic about all your convictions. Bible truth, no compromise. In essentials, unity. Non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. And with that, I want to... I don't have the time. I'm not going to close with a quote. There's a quote from a professor, but I think I'll leave it. All right? So may God speak to our hearts, and please read through the 30 different occurrences of conscience in the scripture and study it in their context and ask God to help you understand. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being with us this morning. Oh Lord God, you are worthy of our worship. You are worthy of our service. You are worthy of our lives. And we pray that, Lord, we may, as the songs that we have sung earlier, have a passion for you, and that we will serve you with love. And may all that we do, all that we say, be motivated by love for Christ, because you first love us. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.